Is that
Instagram?
That Instagram, all with people on Instagram. Well, kids.
Okay.
12-year-olds got Instagram. Okay. All right, let's pray in.
All right. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask you that you administer your word through Pastor Sandy this evening, the way that you intended to, so that you may be glorified and magnified. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm going to put my microphone on,
and I'm going to try to set up a scenario so that we understand what we're doing tonight, okay? Because once you see this, you're going to go, wow, in Passover, we're going to be in heaven. First of all, I want you to know something that I studied today. I studied it many years ago. When the king in Judah got crowned, he got crowned at Passover. So when the king of Judah got crowned, they got crowned during the spring. And then later, when David came back and won the war, then all of Israel crowned him in the fall. So you have two times that the king of Israel gets crowned. And so one time is going to be in the spring, and then one time is going to be in the fall, which is amazing to me because that's the scenario that we're looking at, right? Because when he comes back, he'll come back in the fall on Yom Kippur. And then all of Israel will say, oh yeah, you're our king. You're the one who fought all of our battles. You know, they'll give him the whole David speech, right? You've always been our favorite, Jesus, you know? Because that's what they did with David. First they said, oh, we're going to make Ishbosheth king and not you. And then David goes, well, that's okay. I'll go and be king over Judah and over the Gentiles and Caleb's relatives, okay? And so he goes and he's king there for 7 years and 6 months. Then after he comes back and he wins a war and he destroys the evil king Ishbosheth, cuts off his head, and then all the Jews, then he goes to Israel, and Israel, all of Israel finally says, oh yeah, you were always our favorite. I'm glad you're our king now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying the same thing, the scenario for the same thing is going to happen again. Once in the spring, he's going to be crowned as king. Once in the fall, he's going to be crowned as king. And the history of Israel says the king of Judah became king in the spring. And then when he came back and fought the war, then he became king over all of Israel in the fall.
Yeah.
Same scenario, okay?
Amen.
Same thing. Okay. Now, before we get started, I want to thank all my S4C YouTube family. And I want to thank Yini and her husband, Israel. Israel the prophet, he's a rapper. But I have music I want to send to Israel. So Israel, I'm going to send you some music because I like your music. And I'm like, maybe you might like some of the stuff I like. If you don't like it, just say, your taste is whack, Pastor B, Pastor Sandy. Not Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben's not a real rapper. That was a dream. And so, or a nightmare. It was crazy, Pastor Ben. It was a weird dream. It was a real dream. You know what I had a vision of? I had a vision. Mother Brenda was singing in heaven. And I'm sitting there, and she's singing. And she sounds like the best opera singer in the world.
She used to sing opera.
Did she?
She did.
My goodness. Well, she was singing so good, I felt I needed to apologize to her
for not letting her sing
more while she was here. And she said, it was not about me, Pastor. I was just there to help you guys. And I was like, oh, thank you, Mother Brenda. And then she walked away. And I was like, wow. But it's like the third dream I've had of Mother Brenda. I think I missed her a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Catherine Cordoza sent me a beautiful card from Colorado Springs and a short note of thanks for you being obedient to God and the Father. And I can't, because I don't have my, to reveal his word the way you have to us. Sometimes I like to challenge myself, Pastor Ben, see if I can still see a little.
Nope.
The answer is no, huh? Well, thank you, Catherine, for this. I'll read the rest tomorrow or later tonight. but probably tomorrow during class when we have more time. And this card is from Joshua Davis, who sends me a thank you card. Beautiful card. Look at that. And I'm going to say this card is from Elaine and Roshan. And where are they at? Oh, Elaine and Roshan Valentine. And they're from, what's MT? Libby MT. Is that Montana? Dang, I've never known anybody that lived in Montana. I drove through there once. It was beautiful. It was snow, a lot of snow. Okay. And then I got this DVD from Brian. It looks like Roby. I don't know what's on the DVD, but I'll check it out. Signs, this decodes. It might be a teaching DVD, but let me check that out later. All right. Are you guys ready for an incredible Bible study? And I'm saying that as if I know I'm going to teach it right, but I am going to do my absolute best to try, okay? First thing I want to do is talk about I want to ask you guys a question. Why did Jesus choose 12 disciples? Huh? You guys know? You guys know why Jesus chose 12 disciples? 12 tribes of Israel. That's good. Why did he choose 12 tribes of Israel? Because something came before 12 tribes of Israel, and something came before 12 apostles. Now, the 12 tribes of Israel were supposed to tell the world about God, right? They were supposed to be a witness to God. But they didn't do a good job, and then God said, well, now I'm going to the Gentiles. But he chose 12 apostles. And those 12 apostles, what are their jobs? To go forth and preach the gospel to the whole world, right? So it's not just 12 apostles. They have a job, and their job is to preach the gospel. So what are they going to preach? Everything that's in the gospel, that's in the scriptures. Now, if there are 48 constellations, why do 12 of them are the major constellations? And then the rest of the constellations, because each 12 constellations you have, but then after that you have 3-day cons or subplots for each constellation to tell you the story of the gospel, okay? One thing we need to understand is that the Gospels go from the Virgin Mary, right? Well, the Virgin, which we call Virgo, right? And where does it end? What's the last month before September? Is the Lion of Judah. So that means this story is something I'm going to tell you that involves what? A virgin having a child, becoming a king, right? Dying on the cross and becoming ruler over the whole world. This is the story about a virgin, okay? Now, then I get to the next constellation, and then that's going to tell us more about Jesus and the gospel. And then it's going to go all through all of the constellations. And then when you get to the next year before, about August, you have the Lion of Judah as it returns and destroys the serpent, right? And these are constellations that are in the stars. But now, who understood this better than anyone? Babylon first. Remember,
Tower of Babel.
The first people that corrupted the star, the Maseroth, and the Maseroth is the 12 stars. The first people that corrupted it was Babylon, okay? Now, once Babylon was pretty much, Christ came down and they destroyed it, and then all the nations were dispersed, right? Egypt just did the same thing that they saw done in Babylon. They took the star constellations and they made up their own gods, because that's what Babylon did. They came up with a God woman who has a God child, and her husband is the sun god. And then Egypt just did the same thing. They came up with Isis as the mother goddess, and Horus as the godson, and Osiris as the sun god. And then every culture, rather Indian, all of the cultures in the whole world have the same story about a woman's going to come. She's going to have a child. She's going to be a virgin. He's going to have 12 apostles, blah, 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 blah. Every culture has that. Where do they get it from? The star constellations. When were the star constellations created?
Second day or third day?
Fourth day of creation. So on the fourth day of creation, God created the sun and the moon, right? 4,000 years later, he created the sun, because the sun came into the world. He was just keeping in rotation, right? So on the fourth day of creation, he creates the sun, the moon, and then it says he also created Kahavim, which is stars. But the Avim is the S on the Hebrew. But the Kakab is 48. And that's what you have, 48 star constellations, 12 major constellations to do what? Preach the gospel to the world from where? From the stars, okay? And so this has been set up, the star constellations have been set up from the very beginning. And God has been using these constellations like the Bethlehem star, and all of these things. He's been using all of this to show people the gospels. And had they not corrupted the star constellations, Egypt and Babylon and many other nations, had they not corrupted it, they would have knew just what God's plan was. Because in Egypt, the Lamb was the greatest God of all. And if anybody even touches a Lamb, you would be killed by punishment of death, because in Egypt, lambs were gods. And where'd they get that? From the constellation of Aries. He dies, he becomes king of the whole world. The Lamb is the king and creator over everything. Okay? So they stole that from the constellation, and they made the Lamb the god of Egypt. Okay? And a lot of other crazy stuff, but the Lamb was it. Okay? So I want you to understand that the star constellations, it is. As a matter of fact, you got what you call the Sphinx, and we'll show that in class tomorrow. The Sphinx is the head of a woman. It's a woman at the head, and the body is a lion, right? So you got the Virgin Mary becoming the Lion of Judah. You understand? So that's it. It's just stealing from the star constellations, okay? So there are 48. Now, we know that the Lamb is what the world calls Aries, and what God calls Talah, which is the Lamb. So the Lamb is this particular, on this page that we were looking at first, okay? And the Bethlehem star, I was looking at that today. You can watch it on YouTube. It's called the Bethlehem star. Now, I hope they have this thing in at the end, because this light, all these lights around here are star constellations. This circle in the middle represents the earth and the sun, and there has been an eclipse, because Jesus, and this is the very moment Jesus died on the cross. So there was an eclipse, and the whole earth became dark, and there was an earthquake, but the eclipse caused the whole world to be able to see that the constellation behind the cross was a lamb. And so that's what God did. And so why the lamb in the month of Nisan? Because it would always plan that Christ would die during the month of Nisan, right? Because a lamb died where? In Egypt. When? On the 14th of Nisan. So the constellation was created on the fourth day of creation. So God already knew the lamb was going to die on the 14th of Nisan. You understand? The only reason I'm trying to get you to understand this is because I want you to know the importance of it as we move on. So we get to the Revelation 12 sign, the woman, okay? The virgin, or what we call the Virgo, appearing in the sky, right? With the sun at her feet and the moon, but always every year since Christ, 9 stars above her head. But now in 2017, all of a sudden she has 12 stars above her head, and everybody recognized this is different, okay? This is what happened when Christ was born. So now, that happened when? September 23rd. When is the Virgo sign? September, right? So see how it lines up with the month of of everything. Now, if you understand that, now I want to begin my Bible study. I want us to first go to the book of, let's see, Luke chapter 5. Okay? Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah. God is so much better at this than me. The way he was giving it to me today, I was like, wow. Okay, now watch this, because I'm going to show you something, and you have to know this first of all. You're in Luke chapter 5? Okay. Now this is around the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it says, one day, as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him, and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats. He saw two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. So he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So he gets on Simon's boat and he says, push the boat out a little bit into the shore so that the people could see me. I did not know that your voice echoes off the water. And that was like kind of having a microphone.
Wow.
But it's a true thing, okay? And it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water, push out into the deep water, and let the net, put out into the deep water and let down the net for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all day and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their net began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the son of Zebedee and Simon's partners. And it says, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled the boat up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. That is how he began his ministry. You see that? So the ministry begins by using a example of what God is going to do in the world, okay? The fish are going to multiply. And what God wants to do is to pick 12 fishermen to now go out and fish men. By doing what? Giving the gospel out all over the world. And by giving this gospel out, they're going to bring in a large catch of fish. Because he says, hey, now I'm going to make you fishers of men, not just fishermen. You're going to fish for me and the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, let's go to John chapter 21. Remember now, that's the beginning, okay? The fish, the fishing adventure begins now, because now he's getting his 12 apostles and he's going to teach them how to fish for men. Okay, when you get to John 21, say, you cooking now, Pastor. No, don't say that. Say amen. Okay. So here we go. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again. This is after he's already resurrected from the grave. Okay? This, matter of fact, this is the third time that he's appeared to them. And this last time, he tells them, meet me at the Sea of Galilee. So now, he tells them it's going to be at Galilee. And look where they go. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared to them again by the Sea of Tiberias. What is Tiberias? That's the Gentile name for Galilee, because this warrior named Tiberius had taken over this area and was ruling over it. So they were naming everything after him. So they renamed Galilee Tiberias, but it's the same sea. Okay. So it says it happened this way. Simon Peter, one, Thomas, called Dudamus, two, Nathanael from Canaan of Galilee, three, the sons of Zebedee, which he had two, so that's what, four and five? And two others were together. So how many people you have on the boat? Seven people on the boat. How many churches do we have? Seven, okay? So they're representing these churches, and he's going to show you the end of the fishing adventure. He says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize or realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon heard him say this, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. It says the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coal with fish on it. So they're not cooking their fish, and some bread. So that means the bridegroom had already prepared a meal. To understand that further, you will see Samson, when he was getting married, his father told him, go and make sure you prepare the meal. Because the Jewish custom is that the husband is going to prepare this meal before he has this wedding, right? Mm-hmm. So the meal's already, and it says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon climbed aboard and dragged the net in. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, what's the 153?
Sons of God.
Sons of God, but not high Elohim. It is the word in Hebrew, the sons of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he says you will become the sons of God. You understand? Once you accept Christ, you become children of the living God. The numerical value for the sons of God is 153. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be jumping around on our notes and not staying in order. But I'm hoping, okay. Nope. Okay, I've got it right here. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 1. Don't you go there, because you don't have it in Hebrew. But in Hebrew, I want to tell you, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Seven words. The first verse in Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Now, the second verse of Genesis chapter 1 has 14 words in Hebrew. The third has 6 words in Hebrew. The fourth verse has 12 words. The fifth verse has 13 words. The sixth verse has 11 words. The seventh verse has 17 words. The eighth has 10 words. The ninth verse of Genesis chapter 1 has 13 words. The 10th verse of Genesis chapter 1 has 12 Hebrew words. The 11th verse of Genesis chapter 1 has 20 Hebrew words. The 12th verse of Genesis chapter 1 has 18 words. Add the 12 together, 12 apostles, 153 words. So that means the 153 fish is not an accident. And the word B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, because these fish are representing what? That the 12 apostles have caught all these fish, sons of God, and they're bringing them forward to Jesus, who has already made a meal, right? And it's seven of them, like seven churches. So now you've got this thing. But here you have, in the scripture, the 12, once again, and the 12 as the 12 apostles, and you have 153 words. So God knows the story that he's telling. Okay. So, do we have any constellation that there's a fish? There's fish. Are there any? Out of all, you got the Virgo, you got Aries, you got the Bull, you got, is there a constellation that has fish in it? Do you guys know? Huh? Pisces, thank you. God, y'all been saved all your lives. Okay, you have Pisces is the constellation that has fish. Now, I want you guys to go to this page that has, the actual name is Dagim. It's not called Pisces, okay? The actual name is Dagim. And it actually is a plural word for fish, okay? Someone wrote fishes, but I was like, that don't sound right. So, God named all of the stars. He said, I called them all by name and not one of them missing. So God didn't let Adam name the stars because God knew the gospel. Adam didn't know the gospel. Right. You name the animals, I'll name the stars. So God names all of the stars, and he names this star constellation the fish. Okay? So that means that if the constellation is telling you the gospel, then the story about the fish should be in the constellation of Dagim, or what you call Pisces, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's look what the decan in this is. The first decan that you have in the constellation of the fish is a band, the redeemed bound, but binding the enemy. So the redeemer bound. So what does that constellation look like? Look at this on the board, okay? You have, this is what, now, as you grew up, you had one fish swimming this way and the other fish swimming that way, right? In the real constellation, you have one fish swimming vertical and the other fish is swimming upward, but they're both tied to this enormous constellation in the water called the sea dragon. So they can't get out because they're bound, okay? Let's look at the next constellation. Andromeda. What's the constellation Andromeda? It looks like a woman bound in chains. So in the constellation of the fish, there's a woman sitting there. But she's bound, she has chains on her hands and on her feet. Underneath her arm are fish swimming. And you're like, okay. So then the last one you have is the Hebrew word Cephas, or a crowned king. So the king is there, his bride is bound in chains, the fish are swimming vertical, but some of them are swimming upward because they're trying to come out of the water. They want out of the sea, which is what? The world. See, you guys thought you were the only one waiting for the rapture. It has the fish, some swimming vertical, but some swimming straight up like flying fish. We want to get out of here. Wow. So it's like that. Now you get to the early part. Now here, let's look. Let me look here. You guys go see this? You see, I see that portion right there? Okay. Now watch this.
Which portion happened?
This portion right here. Those colorful. Okay. See at the all the way at the end where it says Pisces, which should say Dagim? February 19th to March 20th is the constellation of the fish. Okay? So that even puts us into 5 days into Nisan. You see that? Now, but this, so February and March is the constellation of the fish, because the story has to end. You understand? The fishing trip has a beginning, and remember, in John 21, the fishing trip had an end. Okay? Now, in the next month, you would have March 21st to April 19th, you have the constellation of the Lamb, okay? Or Talah, which is the Hebrew word, which is the Lamb. Let's see what it means in the Hebrew. Let's see if I can get you to the proper page. Okay, yeah, go back to this page, then we'll see. Aries, the Lamb, Talah, the first decan that you see, what's a decan? A subplot. The first decan you see is a woman enthroned in heaven with a crown on her head. So the woman's no longer in chains. She's been taken up to heaven and she no longer has any chains on her hand. Matter of fact, she's seated right next to Cephas, the king, and he has a crown on, and now she doesn't have any chains on anymore, and she's seated next to the king in the early parts of the constellations, the Lamb, but it's the first Dacon. After that Dacon, you see the sea dragon gets bound by the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. Then an army comes and destroys the sea dragon and delivers the rest of the redeemed. Okay? So, that brings us back to the front page. Do you see this first constellation? Andromeda, she's a woman, she's chained. She's chained. You see that? You see the fish swimming next to her? She's a representation of the fish. Because the woman is actually a bride, and the fish are actually the church. And the bride and the church are the same thing, okay? But this is what the constellation is trying to show you. The fishing trip is not over because the woman is still bound and the fish is swimming diagonal and they have not left, okay? But in the early part of Nisan, the first constellation you see is this woman sitting in a chair or sitting on her throne, and she is crowned, and now she is free, and she has no chains on her, and she's in the heavens. Okay? So, what is God showing us? Now, this is amazing because of this. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. Okay? Because look, Adar is the month that the woman is bound. But Adar is also the month that the woman gets released. You understand? In the early parts of the spring, she's released and now she's in heaven. This is a constellation telling you what? That the end of the fishing trip is in the spring. Okay? You in John chapter 2? Ooh, you guys. John chapter 2. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why did you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water pots, the kind used for the Jews' ceremony of washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. You hear that? Now, I used to get excited, 20 gallons. That means 6 times 20 is 100, is 120. Therefore, we're in the 120th year. This must be talking about the rapture. Then it says 20 or 30 gallons. So I went, I can't nail it down with that because it's like 30 gallons too. So today the Lord was like, well, why don't you look what 6 times 30 gallons is and see what that means? And so I looked up and it was 180, which is the Jewish word nasa, which means depart, to travel, to leave, okay? So it's, one is saying 120 is also the numerical value for what? The congregation, the pillars, the congregation, all of that is in 120. So 120 is the congregation. But the 30 gallons is 180 is departing. So what's going on at this wedding? Because we've got a ceremony going on here, and they just filled 6 pots that are for ceremonial cleansing of a woman who just gave birth. To who? The church. So why 20 or 20 and 30, because I'm letting you know it's the church, and I'm also letting you know there's a departure. Okay? Now, why does this all, and that's on your second page. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit, okay? Okay. Cassiopeia, the enthroned woman, February 19th through March 20th is the constellation that the woman is enthroned. This is during the month of Adar, meaning, what does Adar mean? Glorious, as in his glorious appearance. How many times does Adar appear in the book of Esther? 8 times the number of Christ. What book it is it? The 17th book, okay? Adar / Nisan is the month that we're looking at the bride being unchained and the fish, because you don't only see now the vertical, but you don't, you only see the vertical, but you don't see the horizontal, because now the fish have been taken out. And now the bride no longer has chains. And now this thing happens in 1 month, February, March. That's the constellation that it happened. When did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Nisan. That's why you had the lamb. So the fish story and the bride story is told when? In the early parts of spring. Now, as we continue reading this in John chapter 2, it says, nearby stood 6 water pots, the kind for Jewish ceremonial cleaning, washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. I did that one time. Guys telling me we're gods. You ever hear somebody tell you, we're gods? He was a 5%er. So you know what I did? I went and got some water and I said, could you make this into wine for me? Since you think you're a god. And I just looked at it. I was like, Jesus did this in the Bible. And if you're a god and he's a god, then you can make this turn into wine for me. And I want a glass of wine right now. You're God? See, I'm just saying there's some foolish things that people start believing in that they need to just put away, right? So, because after Jesus did this, his apostles, it says, then he told them, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine at first, and then the cheaper wine after. The guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best for last. Hallelujah. He saved the best for last. And he says, this is the first of the miracle signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Why? Because he turned water to wine. Now it says in verse 12, after this, he went down to Capernaum. What does Capernaum mean? The place of relaxation and pleasure, right? So he goes down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stay for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jews' Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So what does that just tell you? That the wedding happened before Passover.
Right.
You understand? The wedding happened before Passover. The woman's chains are off, and she's in the heavens, and the fish that was swimming vertical is now gone. Only the fish that's swimming diagonal. But the fish that's swimming vertical has left. Those waiting on the rapture. And now the woman is sitting in heaven in the spring before Passover. She has no more chains. And she's sitting. If you read the book, this book is so good, but they didn't understand some things. So you have to be really careful when you're reading it, okay? So in this book, she's constantly showing this woman is the bride of the Lamb. And now she's in heaven. And how do they know this is the bride of the Lamb? Because of the other constellations that are around her that are telling them that this is the bride. Here, let me put my glasses back on. Okay, she's in. Okay. Captive delivered. The captive delivered, preparing for her husband, the Redeemer. In the last chapter, we saw that the woman was bound. Here we see that the same woman is free, delivered, and enthroned in heaven. She is indeed highly exalted, making herself ready. Her hands, no longer bound, are engaged in happy work. With her right hand, arranging her robe, and with her left hand adorning her hair, she is seated in the Arctic Circle and close by the side of Cephas the king. So this constellation appears in the sky in the spring, but the woman is now sitting next to the king with no chains. This is the bride of the Lamb, the partaker of the heavenly call. He who has redeemed her is the Lamb that was slain. So this occurrence happens February, March, middle of February, middle of March. This is before Nisan. So now we go to the book of Joshua. And we see, oh my goodness, chapter 3, reading the very end of it, what does it say? The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. Where is the Jordan at? Right at the Galilean Sea, where the water empties out into the Galilean Sea. And it says, at the Jordan, while all the Israelites passed by until the whole nation had completed and crossed on dry ground. So that scripture tells you everybody has crossed over to the other side. Okay? Now, in chapter 5, verse 10, it says, on the evening of the 14th day, that's Nisan, of the month, while the camp was at Gilgal, that's Galilee, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. So they already crossed over. Now they're celebrating Passover, but it's in heaven.
7 minutes past.
It's in heaven. So someone gave me information today, and without saying anything, death toll is now 1,095.
Really?
Death toll is now 1,095. 3,767 serious injuries meaning that people have been hurt. Okay? So, I'm seeing now on television commercials to tell you to do the right thing. Okay? And I'm just letting you know, from the VAERS, and that's the same one report I gave you before, and at that time it was at 300 and I think 79 or so. Well, now it's at 1,095. And there are 3,767 serious injuries, meaning paralysis and things that people, what's the face thing they call?
Yeah, that's paralysis.
Yeah, paralysis in the face, you know. But not just that, legs as well and things like that. Okay?
Sarah said high loss in pregnancy too.
Yeah, high loss in pregnancy too. So I'm just letting you know, this is from, now this is from Bloomberg report, okay? So I'm not saying, you know, this is what I'm making up. I'm just telling you, this is a report that they put out, and they're, yeah, that's one of the newspapers that's very, and they're putting it out. Hey, this is the death toll, and so that you know that, see, because I want you to know that if everyone's going to be here, they're doing commercials about you doing the right thing. They're talking about getting people out to using the military to help them get people and to make sure that everybody's doing this, right? So I'm just letting you know this because a lot of people are getting in contact with me because they want the world to know so that we can be aware and wake people up. And I'm trying to tell them the book of Revelation is about to happen, okay? We're at the end of the 120th year. Okay, and you see that Satan has got the world backed up against the Red Sea, and so either God has to act or everybody has to die.
Yeah.
Because they want everybody. This is not just the few that select that they decide. No, they want everybody. Okay, so I'm just letting you know, all of the scriptures, and even this last portion, maybe God will give me more, this last portion, seeing that there is a constellation in the sky, and the constellation is about the fish. The sons of God, who the 12 disciples have become fishermen of, their constellation is in the spring. Their escape from the water is in the spring. They're loosed from the sea dragon in the spring. The woman who was chained in the month of Adar is now in the heavens sitting next to the king enthroned in spring. And then God says, well, why do you always pass by? Yeah, you see it's 100, you see it's 20 gallons, and 6 is 120, you got that right. The church is 120, the congregation in Hebrew is 120. You got that right. The pillars in Hebrew is 120. And Timothy says the pillars is the foundation of the church. So we know the church and the pillars are the 120. So he says, add up what, if it was 30 gallons, 180. It is the Hebrew word immediately came up. Hebrew word, nasa. Ani nasa le Tel Aviv. Ani nasa le America. I'm leaving. I'm traveling. I'm leaving. I'm going. Nasa means I'm being taken away. Okay? So, God was telling us two things with the 20 gallons and the 30 gallons. The church and departure. Both in the spring before Passover. Keep that Bible study. I have the other one tomorrow, and we're going to go over the 12 constellations because we got to see how God has used the constellations throughout time to tell the gospel and to make things happen in the month of the constellation. They must happen, okay? So we'll look at that tomorrow. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was good. Thanks, bro.